LearnOutloud.com and Zods.com present Zod's Quotes on Vegetarianism. This recording is an audio compilation of Brian Johnson's favorite quotes on vegetarianism. Brian is the philosopher and CEO of Zods, Inc. For more of Brian's audio material, visit www.learnoutloud.com/Brian Johnson. For more inspiration and to join a growing community of seekers and enlightened entrepreneurs, check out Zods.com. That's ZAADZ.com. Now here is Brian Johnson with his favorite quotes on vegetarianism.
This is Brian Johnson welcoming you to a collection of quotes on vegetarianism. As a vegetarian and vegan, in fact, I hope that you enjoy these. I certainly do. With that, we will get started. Starting with a quote from George Bernard Shaw, one of my favorites. You might have heard this one before. "Animals are my friends, and I don't eat my friends." Thank you, George Bernard. Now a couple by Albert Schweitzer. "It is the fate of every truth to be an object of ridicule when it is first acclaimed. It was once considered foolish to suppose that black men were really human beings and ought to be treated as such. What was once foolish has now become a recognized truth. Today it is considered an exaggeration to proclaim constant respect for every form of life as being the serious demand of a rational ethic. But the time is coming when people will be amazed that the human race existed so long before it recognized that thoughtless injury to life is incompatible with real ethics. Ethics is in its unqualified form extended responsibility to everything that has life." It's Albert Schweitzer. Another by Albert. "The thinking man must oppose all cruel customs, no matter how deeply rooted in tradition and surrounded by a halo. When we have a choice, we must avoid bringing torment and injury into the life of another, even the lowliest creature. To do so is to renounce our manhood and shoulder a guilt which nothing justifies." A couple quotes by Leo Tolstoy. "A man can be healthy without killing animals for food. Therefore, if he eats meat, he participates in taking animal life merely for the sake of his appetite." Another by Leo Tolstoy. "If he be really and seriously seeking to live a good life, the first thing from which he will abstain will always be the use of animal food, because its use is simply immoral, as it involves the performance of an act which is contrary to the moral feeling, killing." That was Leo Tolstoy as well. This is Albert Einstein with this thought. "Nothing will benefit human health and increase chances for survival of life on Earth as much as the evolution to a vegetarian diet." A couple from Mahatma Gandhi. "The greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated." Another from Gandhi. "To my mind, the life of a lamb is no less precious than that of a human being. I should be unwilling to take the life of a lamb for the sake of the human body." Immanuel Kant has this to say: "If man is not to stifle his human feelings, he must practice kindness towards animals. For he who is cruel to animals becomes hard also in his dealings with men. We can judge the heart of a man by his treatment of animals." Henry David Thoreau shares this with us: "I have no doubt that it is part of the destiny of the human race, in its gradual improvement, to leave off eating animals." The Bible, Matthew 5:7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Couple from the Buddha. "To become vegetarian is to step into the stream which leads to nirvana." Another from Buddha. "May all that have life be delivered from suffering." The Bhagavad Gita, the core text of Hinduism, teaches us: One is dearest to God, who has no enemies among the living beings, who is non-violent to all creatures. Prophet Muhammad shares this with us. A good deed done to an animal is as meritorious as a good deed done to a human being, while an act of cruelty to an animal is as bad an act as an act of cruelty to a human being. The Dalai Lama. Killing animals for sport, for pleasure, for adventure, and for hides and furs is a phenomena which is at once disgusting and distressing. There is no justification in indulging in such acts of brutality. Reverend Andrew Lindsay shares this. Animals are God's creatures, not human property, not utilities, nor resources, nor commodities, but precious beings in God's sight. Christians whose eyes are fixed on the awfulness of crucifixion are in a special position to understand the awfulness of innocent suffering. The cross of Christ is God's absolute identification with the weak, the powerless, and the vulnerable, but most of all with unprotected, undefended, innocent suffering. An unknown source gives us the following. There were no slaughterhouses in the Garden of Eden. I love that one. Leonardo da Vinci. One day, the world will look upon research upon animals as it now looks upon research on human beings. H.G. Wells, from his book Utopia, quotes, "In all the round world there is no meat. There used to be, but now we cannot stand the thought of slaughterhouses." It's a passage from his book Utopia. Neil Barnard, MD, offers us this thought. The beef industry has contributed to more American deaths than all the wars of this century, all natural disasters, and all automobile accidents combined. If beef is your idea of real food for real people, you'd better live real close to a real good hospital. That's a pretty good one, too. Isaac Singer shares with us, people often say that humans have always eaten animals, as if this is a justification for continuing the practice. According to this logic, we should not try to prevent people from murdering other people, since this too has also been done since the earliest of times. William Jones shares with us this thought. Cruelty to dumb animals is one of the distinguishing vices of low and base minds. Wherever it is found, it is a certain mark of ignorance and meanness, a mark which all the external advantages of wealth, splendor, and nobility cannot obliterate. It is consistent neither with learning nor with true civility. Jeremy Bentham shares, what is it that should trace the inseparable line? The question is not, can they reason, nor can they talk, but can they suffer? Mark Twain shares with us, I am not interested to know whether vivisection produces results that are profitable to the human race or doesn't. The pain which it inflicts upon unconsenting animals is the basis of my enmity toward it, and it is to me sufficient justification of the enmity without looking further. Another thought on animal rights and just kindness toward animals is by George Bernard Shaw. We actually have a couple by George Bernard Shaw. Atrocities are not less atrocities when they occur in laboratories and are called medical research. Another by George Bernard Shaw. Human beings are the only animals of which I am thoroughly and cravenly afraid. Shaw offers us one other thought that I will share. The average age, longevity, of a meat eater is 63. I'm on the verge of 85 and still work as hard as ever. I have lived quite long enough and am trying to die, but I simply cannot do it. A single beefsteak would finish me, but I cannot bring myself to swallow it. I am oppressed with a dread of living forever. That is the only disadvantage of vegetarianism. Always entertaining. Scott Adams, the creator of Dilbert, shares with us, "You're thinking I'm one of those wise-ass California vegetarians who's going to tell you that eating a few strips of bacon is bad for your health. I'm not. I say it's a free country, and you should be able to kill yourself at any rate you choose, as long as your cold dead body is not blocking my driveway." Thank you, Scott. And thank you for Dilbert. Paul and Wynda McCartney share with us this thought. You may have heard the intro of this before. "If slaughterhouses had glass walls, everyone would be vegetarian. We feel better about ourselves and better about the animals, knowing we're not contributing to their pain." Paul McCartney offers another thought. "The medical argument for animal testing doesn't stand up. Even if it did, I don't think we should kill other species. We think we're so much better. I'm not sure we are. I tell people, we've beaten into submission every animal on the face of the earth. So we are the clear winners of whatever battle is going on between the species. Couldn't we be generous? I really do think it's time to get nice. No need to keep beating up on them. I think we've got to show that we're kind." Will Kellogg, the founder of Kellogg's, shares with us this question. "How can you eat anything with eyes?" I can't, personally. Ellen DeGeneres. "You ask people why they have deer heads on the wall. They always say, because it's such a beautiful animal. Well, there you go. I think my mother's attractive, but I have photographs of her." Funny, funny, funny. Richard Gere. "People get offended by animal rights campaigns. It's ludicrous. It's not as bad as mass animal death in a factory." Another by Isaac Singer. "There will be no justice as long as man will stand with a knife or with a gun and destroy those who are weaker than he is." Robert Louis Stevenson. "We consume the carcasses of creatures of like appetites, passions, and organs with our own, and fill the slaughterhouses daily with screams of pain and fear." Ralph Waldo Emerson says, "You have just dined, and however scrupulously the slaughterhouse is concealed in the graceful distance of miles, there is complicity." Dennis Weaver, the actor. "I think there will come a time, and this is down the road a great many years, when civilized people will look back in horror on our generation and the ones that have preceded it. The idea that we should eat other living things running around on four legs, that we should raise them just for the purpose of killing them. The people of the future will say, meat eaters in disgust, and regard us in the same way that we regard cannibals in cannibalism." Peter Singer, one of the leading ethicists on animal rights, wrote a book called Animal Liberation that I highly recommend, offers us a thought. "Animal factories are one more sign of the extent to which our technological capacities have advanced faster than our ethics." I think it's a brilliant one. I'm going to repeat that. "Animal factories are one more sign of the extent to which our technological capacities have advanced faster than our ethics." Powerful. Dean Ornish, MD. Brilliant, brilliant man. "I don't understand why asking people to eat a well-balanced vegetarian diet is considered drastic, while it is medically conservative to cut people open and put them on cholesterol-lowering drugs for the rest of their lives." It's a good point, Dean. Thank you. Percy Shelley says, "It is only by softening and disguising dead flesh by culinary preparation that it is rendered susceptible of mastication or digestion, and that the sight of its bloody juices in raw horror does not excite intolerable loathing and disgust." Former Surgeon General C. Everett Koop says, "Your choice of diet can influence your long-term health prospects more than any other action you might take." And I highly recommend you consider vegetarianism on that front. Alrighty then. Harvey Diamond says, "You put a baby in a crib with an apple and a rabbit. If that baby eats the rabbit and plays with the apple, I'll buy you a new car. I don't think Harvey's bought too many people new cars on that bet. Alrighty then. William C. Roberts, another doctor. When we kill animals to eat them, they end up killing us because their flesh was never intended for human beings who are naturally herbivores. Moby offers a long thought. If you look at the course of Western history, you'll see that we're slowly granting basic rights to everyone. A long time ago, only kings had rights. Then rights were extended to property-owning white men, then all men, then women, then children, then the mentally retarded. Now we're agonizing over the extension of basic rights to homosexuals and animals. We need to finally accept that all sentient creatures are deserving of basic rights. I define basic rights as this: the ability to pursue life without having someone else's will involuntarily forced upon you. Or, as the framers of the Constitution put it, the ability to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By what criteria can you justify denying basic rights to any living thing? Realize that by whatever criteria you employ, someone could deny basic rights to you if they objected to your species, sexual preferences, color, religion, ideology, etc. Would you eat your house cat or force a mentally retarded child to ingest oven cleaner? If not, then why is it okay to eat cows and test products on sentient animals? I believe that to knowingly commit actions that cause or condone suffering is reprehensible in the extreme. I call upon you to be compassionate and treat others as you want to be treated. If you don't want to be beaten, imprisoned, mutilated, killed, or tortured, then you shouldn't condone such behavior towards anyone, be they human or not. It's by Moby. Another by Isaac Singer. To be a vegetarian is to disagree with the course of things today. Starvation, world hunger, cruelty, waste, wars. We must make a statement against these things. Vegetarianism is my statement, and I think it's a strong one. So do I, Isaac. Nathan Pritikin shares with us, vegetarians always ask about getting enough protein, but I don't know any nutrition expert who can plan a diet of natural foods resulting in a protein deficiency, so long as you're not deficient in calories. You need only 5 or 6% of total calories in protein, and it is practically impossible to get below 9% in ordinary diets. Protein deficiency myth is one of the most amusing things about being vegetarian or vegan. It's amazing what the dairy and cattle industry have conditioned us to believe. But that's a subject for a whole other time. We'll get back to the quotes now. Dr. Paul Brunton offers us another quote. The person who is afraid to alter his living habits, and especially his eating and drinking habits, because he is afraid that other persons may regard him as queer, eccentric, or fanatic, forgets that the ownership of his body, the responsibility for its well-being, belongs to him, not them. Marion Nessel shares with us the idea. The standard for food groups are based on American agricultural lobbies. Why do we have a milk group? Because we have a National Dairy Council. Why do we have a meat group? Because we have an extremely powerful meat lobby. The next quote's by Dr. John McDougall, who actually also has an amazing DVD series that talks about the myths surrounding dairy and meat and other habits that exist within our diet that I highly recommend. You can check him out at drmcdougall.com. That's Dr. drmcdougall.com. His thought that I'm going to include here is this. An important fact to remember is that all natural diets, including purely vegetarian diets without a hint of dairy products, contain amounts of calcium that are above the threshold for meeting your nutritional needs. In fact, calcium deficiency caused by an insufficient amount of calcium in the diet is not known to occur in humans. You really will love his DVDs. Check them out. All right. William Castelli, another doctor. When you see the golden arches, you are probably on your way to the pearly gates. Funny. All right. Alicia Silverstone. shares with us this thought. Nothing's changed my life more than going vegan. I feel better about myself as a person, being conscious and responsible for my actions. And I lost weight, my skin cleared up, and I got bright eyes, and I just became stronger and healthier and happier. Can't think of anything better in the world to be than vegan. Chelsea Clinton. I'm a big health food freak and vegetarian devotee. All right. Charlize Theron. We don't live the lives of Eskimos. We don't need to kill animals for fashion. Woody Harrelson and a couple other actors before we wrap this thing up. I've been vegan for about 10 and a half years. Go Woody. It's all been good. I'm obviously much healthier. And Clint Eastwood, to wrap it up, I take vitamins daily, but just the bare essentials, not what you'd call supplements. I try to stick to a vegan diet, heavy on fruit, vegetables, tofu, and other products. Other soy products. Well, that's a quick look at some veggie quotes. Hope you enjoyed. And have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed Learn Out Loud's production of Zod's Quotes on Vegetarianism. For additional educational and self-development audiobooks, courses, and podcasts, please visit www.learnoutloud.com. For more inspiration and to join a community of seekers and enlightened entrepreneurs, check out zods.com. That's ZAADZ.com. Thank you for listening.